We had his younger brother Stephen Rains here, and so this is really neat. This is from the church where the Roberts, the pastor at, so Tim and Christy Roberts, know the Rains very well and their whole family, and so this is really exciting and been neat to put a lot of connections and connect a lot of dots yesterday and those that we know. And so just really excited about what the Lord has done through them. So they're on furlough. They're planning to go back in January. And so we're just really excited to have the opportunity to be able to have them come down here. Drove down from Wisconsin and be able to give an update on what's going on in their ministry. And so without further ado, we'll just turn it over to Brother Michael here. And anyway, so Brother, you can come.
All right, well, it's let me make sure I got this on. There we go. It is a real blessing to be here today. And, you know, as missionaries, it's always a great opportunity to be able to share a little bit of what God's doing in our part of the world. And I know, seeing on the back, as you come in there on the back entranceway, your church has a lot of involvement in different missionaries' lives. And just thinking about all those different places in the world where God is doing a work. And that's always exciting to think about, and just to be able to have a part right where He puts us. And wherever He puts us in this world, there's always a lot of work that needs to be done for Him. And it's great to think about how God you know, raises up people to go all over the world and serve Him in different places. And so our family has had the opportunity to serve Him in Kenya, East Africa. And there'll be a little video here in just a moment that we'll show and tell a little bit about the ministry there, and then maybe toward the end see if there's any questions. But today I came along with my daughter Susanna. So she's here with me. Our family, when we travel on furlough basis out of southeast Wisconsin in a town called McWanago, Wisconsin, and Pastor mentioned the Roberts family. So Pastor Roberts started that church in 1978, and that was just the year that my parents, I was 4 years old at the time, and they had just moved up to McWanago, and they had been going to a Southern Baptist church down in Illinois, and they got this job transfer up to Wisconsin, and they got a house in McWanago, and didn't have any idea where they'd be going to church. So they figured, I think they moved up on a Friday, something like that, a Thursday or Friday, and it just so happened that that neighborhood on the outskirts of McWanago was where Pastor Roberts, and who was just beginning like a Bible study, and they were planning to officially begin the church in the near future. They were meeting in the basement of a savings and loan right in town. And he and another guy had been going through the neighborhood on the outskirts of McWanago, just going door to door. And my parents moved up on a Friday. That Saturday, I think it was, they knocked on their door. They had seen somebody move into this new house. And so my parents were wondering where they'd go to church, and the Lord had led Pastor Roberts and another gentleman, Rick Simonson, who's one of our co-workers now in Kenya. He went there first in the late 80s, but he had just gotten saved and was going out. And so it's just amazing how the Lord worked in our lives to bring my parents to McWanago. And they had been going to, my mom came from an American Baptist background. Her family was in the American Baptist churches. My dad grew up in the Quaker churches. They got married. They met at a Quaker college where they were both attending, but they had gotten saved earlier in their, through those, even in those backgrounds, there's people who still preach the gospel back in their day. They had gotten saved, but had never really grown much. So they met at a Quaker college in Oskaloosa, Iowa, called William Penn College. And then they got a job, my dad did his master's at Ball State University in Indiana. He got a job, moved to Illinois. They were going to a Southern Baptist, so they sort of had an interesting background, American Baptist, Quaker, and then Southern Baptist. But when they moved to McWanago due to this job transfer in 78, the Lord just brought them, that Pastor Roberts and this guy from the church, the first weekend, and they've been in the church ever since. So my parents got to help charter the church, really grew there, and that's where us kids grew up. My parents had 8 kids. Pastor mentioned my brother Stephen may have been here like in 2017 possibly, or 2016, something like that. They serve in Kenya as well. He's 10 years younger than me, so we had gone to Kenya, got involved in Kenyan missions in 97. I think a lot of it due to the fact that this guy that I mentioned who went with Pastor Roberts to meet my parents, he got saved, went into the ministry, and the Lord called them to Kenya, like in the late 80s. So he would always come back to the States, come back to Wisconsin, and challenge us kids who, you know, he had known us as little kids. He's like, when are you guys all coming to Kenya to help us? We need some help over there. So I think it was through his influence, you know, putting that idea in our mind that, hey, we need to go help them in Kenya, that the Lord led us there. And so we've actually been serving together with the Simonsons, and you'll see some of those pictures here in a moment. And he's still serving over there. He's like, I don't know, 76, maybe getting close to 77 years old. And his wife's been battling cancer here in this last year, but they still are serving over there, and they sort of just wouldn't mind just dying and being buried there. They just love Kenya and feel like that's the place the Lord's called them all these years, and they don't mind even just dying and being buried right there in Kenya. So that's their heartbeat, and they were instrumental in our lives, and even in my brother Stephen's. Stephen had red hair, and Rick Simonson had red hair, so he would always call Stephen Red, and you know, they were good buddies. So the Lord's led us to serve with them over there in Kenya, as well as a few other people that a team of missionaries that the Lord's put together, mainly in the Bible College, and then we all have different church ministries on the weekend helping to start churches. And so the church that our family has been involved in here over the last number of years is called Lighthouse Baptist Church. And my brother Stephen has helped us. He helps us right now like half the time. He also helps the Simonsons the other half of the time. And that's partly because the video mentions there's a lot of Kenyans who know 3 languages. And Kenya used to be a British colony, so there's a lot of English being used there. So if you go to high school and college, all that teaching would be done in English. The parliament proceedings, the main 9 o'clock nightly news is all in English. The two main newspapers are all in English. But there is a lot of Swahili as well. When you go into town and you meet people from all different tribes and they interact, it's usually in Swahili. So that's a very prominent language, especially when you get out into the rural villages. So a lot of missionaries, when they go there, they'll work on learning Swahili, because no matter what tribe you end up working with, there's like 40 to 42 different tribes in Kenya. Pretty much all of them will know Swahili, especially if you go out to the eastern third of Kenya. There, Swahili is even more predominant, or if you go to Tanzania, it's very predominant there. So Swahili is a widely used language, and so Stephen and Christina are helping the Simonsons in a church in more of a rural town, and all their services are in Swahili, so it helps them to get immersed in a Swahili-speaking ministry. Whereas our church right in Thika town, you'll see some pictures and video of Thika, it's a larger town, more of an urban area, maybe approximately 300,000 people. So it's a larger city, and it's mainly English-speaking right in town. So our church there, Lighthouse, is mainly in English. So they've been helping a lot out there at that ministry, as well as the Simonsons in their ministry. So it's neat to see what God's doing. Both churches, our church there, Lighthouse, in the last couple of years, as well as the Simonsons, have been able to acquire some land and get buildings and develop it. So that's always a real blessing, as opposed to meeting in a rented facility, which our church did right in downtown. So when we get into the video, there'll be a little bit of introductory material, information about Thika and Kenya in general, right there, the first minute or two. Then there'll be some video about our church ministry called Lighthouse Baptist. And one of the great things that happened in this term, to offset all the COVID craziness that this last term, that was sort of one of the key things during our last term, was all the COVID shutdown and lockdowns. So that really disrupted a lot of places in the world, and Kenya as well had a lot of stringent restrictions. But thankfully, it seems like we're pretty well through that. We're grateful for that. But during the midst of all that, the Lord led us to a building that came up for sale. And so one of the key things about our church having met in a rented room for a couple rented rooms for 10 years or so, 10 or 11 years, was able to get that building and use it for the church. So the church has more of a permanent meeting place. Instead of paying, using up almost all their money to pay the rent, now they can use it to sort of develop a budget and hopefully continue on with the ministry there. So that's been a real blessing. There'll be a number of pictures and videos regarding that church building, because that was a huge blessing and real answer to prayer and Lord's provision. And the Lord just, maybe I'll share a little bit of this after the video, but how he's worked to provide that building. It was like $350,000 to get it, but the Lord worked out a way and has been providing for that. Then also then it'll go into a section about our college ministry. So the church, we've always been involved in just, you know, evangelizing in our area, trying to organize churches and help them develop, and trying to train people there to lead in those ministries, but also just providing a place for people to get some Bible college training. So we have a college there, we call it IBCM, Independent Baptist College of Ministry. And that is right in Nairobi on the north side. It meets at a church there. You'll see some pictures of a church and a little video of the compound where the church and college meet. It's called Bethel Baptist Church. That was started back in the 80s by another missionary friend, and it's continuing on. It's had two missionary pastors in its history, and then now it's two Kenyan pastors. And one of the pastors did his master's there at the school in Arizona. You mentioned his name is Josiah Wambua, but he was able to finish his master's degree at a college there in Arizona, a Bible college, in the Phoenix area. So he's back in Kenya, and he leads that church. He helps us in the Bible college. There'll be one picture where you'll see at our last graduation, our team, as well as our team of missionaries, as well as there's four Kenyan pastors that help us teach. They've gone through the college and pastor in the area, and they come and teach one or two classes a year. Some of them more. Some of them teach every term. Others just teach maybe one or two classes. So they've been a huge help. And then some of the graduates will be in that picture, but you'll see at the last graduation, everybody's in their caps and gowns. So that's been a big part of our ministry as well. And going on into this next term, Lord willing, we're hoping to go back in early January if it all works out. We're just right now trying to look at tickets and organize the purchase of those. So just pray that that all works out. We had to do some passport renewals and just finished that all up. And now we're trying to work on our tickets and go back. But, as we go back there, just pray that the Lord would continue to use us and bring the right students into the college and just continue to even just work in our family's life, and that we'd have God's power upon us. That's always an important, everybody in foreign missions and any kind of ministry realize that that's a real key for sure. So just pray that God will continue to work there and use us. So I'll go ahead maybe and show the video, then talk about a couple other things, maybe take a few questions somewhere in there before we finish up. So as we go along here, if you happen to have any questions, we'll take a moment after the video to do that sometime along the way. But maybe we could go ahead and show that at this time.
Hi, my name is Michael Rains. My wife Tina and I have had the opportunity to serve the Lord in Kenyan missions since finishing Bible college. Along the way, God has given us five children who have grown up in Kenya and have been a big part of our life and ministry there. Kenya is a growing country of approximately 50 million people and located in East Africa. It borders the Indian Ocean, Somalia, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Uganda, and Tanzania. It is quite common to meet Kenyans who know three languages, their tribal language, and then Swahili and English. Swahili is common throughout parts of East Africa, while in the bigger Kenyan cities, English is also quite common, since it is used a lot in Kenyan high school and college education. The town we have lived in for many years is called Thika, with approximately 300,000 people. It is about a 35-minute drive northeast of the capital city, Nairobi, Over the years, the Lord has raised up 4 independent Baptist churches covering the main sections of the greater Theka area. The newest of those churches around Theka is Lighthouse Baptist Church, which is located in downtown Theka. The Lord led us to start this church in May of 2010, and we have been serving in this church since that time. To start with, some friends let us use a room for free in their downtown building. Over the years, God has been bringing folks into this church and changing their lives little by little. It is always exciting to think back on what God has been doing over the years as a result of evangelism, the preaching and teaching of God's Word, and the prayers of many of God's people. We have not been totally alone in this church planting effort, as God has used other missionary friends to help at various times in this ministry. Also, God has been developing a good core of local people who have been faithful in recent years to serve in and support the ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Theka is a growing town with many yet needing to be reached. One exciting thing that God has done for the church is providing a permanent building to meet in after renting space for many years. Many have prayed and given generously toward this project. Because Theka has been growing, the price of land and buildings has been going up. Even rent prices are relatively high. Amazingly, toward the end of 2021, God led us to a small piece of land with a building on it that we were able to purchase for the church use. The new church land is 1/6 of an acre and has a nice 2-story building. We had a short time to come up with around $340,000 to make the purchase, but God amazingly helped make this happen. After completing the purchase, we had to do some major renovations to the ground floor to make it suitable for a church to use. The renovations were successful, and we started using this building in December of 2021. We praise the Lord for His help in all these matters. Obviously, church buildings are nice, but seeing lives changed by Christ is even more important. The college has been in operation since 2009 and is a joint effort by a team of people. There are several missionaries and Kenyan pastors who work together to do all the teaching and administration. The Lord has provided a nice facility to meet in on the property of Bethel Baptist Church on the north side of Nairobi. In this facility, we have a nice-sized library, 3 classrooms, and space for the weekly chapel sessions. The college holds 3 12-week terms each year and provides 3 options of study: a 1-year Bible certificate, a bachelor's degree in Bible, and a master's degree in Bible. The Lord has used this Bible college to provide local training for Kenyans to get a solid Bible foundation and much needed ministry preparation. We have a number of graduates who now serve as church planters and local church pastors in Kenya. One thing God has been doing recently is helping our college group to develop a God-honoring music program. We are in the early stages of implementing this program because God has brought some people into our group who have the skills to help with this type of training. Back in 2015, God brought a young man into Lighthouse Baptist Church named James. He heard the gospel and got saved. He has continued coming to church and also finished his bachelor's degree in the Bible college. This year he has begun the master's degree program and has taken on more of a preaching and leadership position at Lighthouse. James has had some health challenges over the last year or so, so pray for his health and for God to use him in a powerful way at Lighthouse Baptist Church. As we think about future service in Kenya, there are many areas in need of a good Bible-believing Baptist church. As the Lord leads, we'll be praying for His timing and guidance regarding the possibility of starting a new church. We also plan to continue serving in the Bible college ministry. Please pray for God to bring the right students into this ministry and that many more churches can be led or planted by these graduates. We are thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord in Kenya and greatly appreciate all God's people do to send us there.
Well, I hope that gives you a little idea of what it's like there in Thika. I know that in a short video, it's hard to totally grasp and envision what it's like, but I know some of you have taken mission trips to different places, and there are probably a lot of similarities there if you've ever been to different places in South America or Central America and even other parts of Africa. So we'd certainly appreciate your prayers. On the back table there as you came in, you might have noticed there's a picture album with a lot more pictures, and so feel free to look through that as well as a few other items, but especially there's some prayer cards, and there you can see that picture that was shown up there of our entire family. One girl we adopted there in Kenya back when she was a little baby, her name's Winnie, or Susie's here, and then the rest are back there in southeast Wisconsin. Our two older kids, they came back to the States in 2018 to do college and to do work in college, and so they've been back in the States for a number of years back there in Wisconsin, just going to our home church, Mukwonago Baptist, and going to Bible college, and our daughter did a nursing degree, so they've been back there, but currently none of them are married, so we all stay together at our church's mission house. So that's a blessing to all be back together during this furlough and to be able to live together. And then our two older kids have been staying at my mom's house when we're back in Kenya. So we'll see how the Lord continues to lead and direct as we go back, but we'd certainly appreciate your prayers. So there, you know, in seeing that video, I don't know if it mentions this, but you saw a lot of that renovation work. And one of the things that was a real challenge about that building was that that we were able to get was that it was actually an apartment building. So I don't know if the video, it talks about the renovations, but that was because it was actually built to be an apartment building. But it came up for sale, and the Lord just worked it out that Tina came across the advertisement for it to be up for sale on some local Facebook page for our town of Thika. And I think the guy who was selling it posted an advert. We went and checked into it. We come to find out it was a longtime friend of ours that we'd known for a long time. Kenya has a lot of, in our town of Thika, there's a sizable Muslim community, as well as a community of people of Indian descent. So they tend to be Sikhs, Jains, Hindus, those three different similar religions, but there are some differences between them. And so they each have a temple in our town, just very close to the church. So the guy who owned it was a Sikh, an Indian guy, and their family have been Sikh for a long time. But he was selling it. He's been a real nice guy and a friend of ours for many years, and he said, I'd like to help you guys get it. So if you can come up with that money quick, there was other people interested in it, and we were able to organize the money amazingly, because it's not easy to just come up with $350,000. But the Lord worked that out, and part of the money was given to us as a loan from our home church. They had a building fund, and they were saving money. So they had this money sitting there, and they loaned it to us, and then $150,000, and then we've been paying that back. So we're down to like right around $3,000 left to pay back to them, and then that whole building will be completely paid for. So that's been a real blessing. So just to see that come in. Thankfully, the church, Mukwonago, was planning to do the building project much earlier, but I think due to COVID and inflation and all this, a lot of the building prices have gone way up, so they're still saving and getting delayed through building codes and whatever. They still haven't done that project. So at first, I thought we were going to have to really quickly come up with it. The Lord knew, though, that it would take a little longer for us to raise that, and he's worked it out. So we're very thankful for that. It's been a great help. And I should mention that not only renovating the building to take it from an apartment building to a church building, that was an interesting project, but we were able to make it work. We just had to leave a few pillars up in the main meeting room. There was a couple pictures there. You might have seen those pillars. So it obstructs a little bit of the view, but you know, the building wasn't designed originally to be a big auditorium. So we had to leave those pillars there to support the upper floor, but we were able to clear out all the bathrooms, bedrooms, kitchens. All those had to just be taken out of their living rooms that you would normally have in an apartment building, and just open it up to be a meeting room. So we have a nice meeting room, And then one-third of the building was unfinished. So two-thirds was finished in use, and they had four apartments in there. Then they were planning to add two more apartments, but then the guy ended up selling it to us. So one-third of the building was unfinished. They had started up to like the fourth course of block. So after we got the meeting room all renovated and usable, then we focused on finishing that last third of the building and just got that done. We worked on that this year from like January to May and got that all completed. So there was a couple of pictures. There was one picture especially of a kid's Sunday school with a lady there. That used to be completely unfinished and very rough looking. But now it turned out very, very nice. They tiled it and painted it and finished that part of the building. You could see some of the guys up there on the upper floor putting the iron roofing sheets on and finishing that. So it turned out real well, and just trust the Lord can continue to use it right there on the edge of downtown. If you're familiar with Google Maps, you can zoom in on Fika and then find Lighthouse Baptist Church. You'll see that blue roof right there, and it mentions Lighthouse Baptist Church. And you'll see it's just a small little plot of land, a sixth of an acre. If you can envision out here in the wide open spaces, you know, that's a tiny little spot. But, you know, it's great. It works well for the church. And we've always been praying that maybe the Lord will provide a neighboring plot and we'll be able to expand. So we'll see. We first of all got to get the one taken care of that we have. And then maybe the Lord will provide another one in the future and give us a little more room. But there's the main part of the land is the building, and then there's part that's like a parking lot, but also it's a great place for the kids to play. And just in this last few days, Stephen and Christina and James Kiru, the one who held the Kenyan guy who helps preach and teach and lead the church, they did a little vacation Bible school, and they were able to use that the one half of the plot to play like big ball volleyball. But it's geared for smaller kids, not one of the really huge ones, but maybe a little bit smaller, but play different activities. It gives a nice place for them to have activities like that, and maybe in the future we'll be able to develop a basketball court or something like that. And so we're just very thankful for, you know, the work that the Lord's done there and in the Bible College. So the Bible College started back in 2009, and God brought together several missionaries, five of us. We started working together and are still working together, and then the Lord has also brought Stephen over there, and he helps us, so he would be like the sixth person. But the Lord's just brought a good group of guys together, and then he's also brought, one of the reasons we were able to help begin developing that music program that I mentioned in the video was because the Lord's brought Stephen there, who's gifted in music, and then another single missionary lady who used to serve in like Southeast Asia. But during COVID, it was so locked down there, she couldn't go back into those countries. And she felt like the Lord maybe was leading her into a little different ministry than she had been there. So she knew the Messler family, who's been serving with us for many years, and they're from that church in Arizona. And she knows them, and they said, why don't you come to Kenya and just do a little survey trip there? They knew she was looking around, and the Lord led her to Kenya, and she's very talented and gifted in music. So the Lord brought a couple of people. That was one area we were lacking in, was people with music ability to train people more in music. So the Lord brought a couple of people now into our team, and we've been developing more of a music ministry. So Stephen has been leading a choir, trying to organize a college choir. This other single lady named Michelle, she's been teaching them like recorder, and they're going to be, Lord willing, starting this next January, starting to do some like piano teaching. So they have several ladies who know piano, Gail Messler, my wife Tina, and then this single lady, Michelle. So they're going to try to begin teaching some piano lessons to those that are interested in trying to develop that. And music, obviously, is a very huge, important area. And if you don't have any good training in it, you sort of just tend to take whatever is around and do anything. And it can be very, just very worldly. So teaching them good Bible principles of God-honoring music, and then just the ability to even read it and understand, you know, how the notes work and how to accompany a service. That's been, I feel like, a real struggle for a lot of churches. They'll have good, you know, some of these guys go through the Bible College, but they don't really have any good musicians. So having a pianist that can accompany the singing is a real challenge, and many churches lack that. So hopefully the Lord can really help the Bible College there and those people involved in the music to raise up some good musicians. And along that line, one other thing we would appreciate your prayers that God would just use that music ministry is that over the years since I've been going to Kenya, since 97, I've always noticed the churches have either a little English songbook or a little Swahili songbook, and they'll generally use either one of them. And interestingly, if you try to imagine this, if you all the songbooks only had the words, no music, that's the way their songbooks are. Maybe if you've traveled to other mission trips, you've noticed something like that. But I think because there's not a lot of music development and teaching over there, very minimal, there's just not access to instruments or teachers or even books with the music. So I've always had this idea of trying to make a songbook that has everything sort of combined in one. It has the music, it has the English hymns, as well as their Swahili counterparts. So when you a church could just have one book and have all three of those things in one. So we've been trying to work on that, and just I think we're getting close to finishing it. We have to have somebody who knows how to work with these music programs, and it's volunteer work. So it's a couple of friends there at Falls Baptist Church. They have a lot of musicians there. They've been working on it sort of as a side issue in their spare time, because they always have a lot of projects and things going on there as well. So it seems like we're making progress. We're just praying that we could finish that up. If we could get it all digitized and laid out, we could take it then and get that printed. So we're just praying that even by the end of this year, we could get that all entered into the music program finale, all laid out, and then start getting that printed and used by the churches. And I've talked to numerous pastors over there and shared my idea with them, and it seems like they've been very interested. So I think that could be a help, together with the music program at the college. If we could get this songbook developed, I think it could be a big help to the music ministries there in Kenya. So just pray for us that the Lord would continue to use us, Stephen, and these other families, the Messlers, Josiah Wambua, Rick Simonson, and then Brent Halstead. We all serve together there, and that the Lord might really use us. Maybe just before any questions, I might just share, there's a verse that we've used as sort of a theme verse. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but it's on our prayer card if you happen to get one of those. I've always liked what Paul says there as he thinks about his ministry in 2 Corinthians 3:5. He has this verse, he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament." So if you think about it, that's very true. Anybody involved in ministry, and I'm sure you've come to realize that as you serve here as well, that it's really, it's not us that does it, it's God. If we just yield to the Lord can use us and accomplish His will, and that's really the greatest thing. And I like just prior to that, sort of in the same context, he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." So think about it, all over the world, God has called people and directed people to serve Him. Many of them we probably don't even know about, and knowing what God's doing there, but it's a blessing to see what God's doing here. And it's great to see how all over the world He's raised up people to take the savor of the knowledge of Christ to people all over the world. And so it's a great opportunity that we have to serve the Lord wherever He places us and wherever He leads us. And I would just encourage each of us to surrender our hearts to the Lord. If there's any struggle or battle in our heart with what does the Lord want me to do? Always realize that it's much better to serve the Lord than to serve the devil. You know, we're servants one way or the other, servants either to sin or our flesh, or servants of Christ. And so that's the real challenge, just yield completely to the Lord. And you'll come to realize that that serving the Lord is much better, isn't it? And it's a real blessing to look back and see what He's done. Maybe we'll just take a few moments. We have a few minutes here if there happens to be any questions. It's nice to just see maybe there's something I missed or didn't think of. And a lot of times questions will raise that up. Anybody at all have a question that might come to mind about Kenya or our ministry or family there in Kenya? Anybody at all? For the most part, I would say, usually just what we've done is just going out. We have a weekly time where we go out into our neighborhood, just talking to people, just knocking on doors, meeting people. There's a lot of people who just walk up and down the streets, so you'll find a lot more pedestrians, so it's easy to just strike up conversations with people. So that is probably the primary thing that we do. We have done, one time we had some friends that came over to Kenya, and they had done this thing where you set up a booth, a table, and a little canopy, and they had done this in other places in the States, and we did it in Thika years ago, and that was a great opportunity just to meet people. Right in town, we got a permit, and we set up this table and just had like an evangelistic booth there in town. One other thing, too, that we've done some, and we have other friends who do this, we've done it a number of times throughout the years, is a lot of the local schools will allow on Fridays churches to come, or just folks that, and they have a class, it's like a religious education class, and they allow even just outside church people to come in and teach that. They have a term for it, it's called PPI, I forget what it stands for, but it's something about pastoral instruction or something like that. And they allow, so I know that in the last term, Tina and the three kids, Susie, Winnie, and Zach, went to a local school on Friday mornings, and they would teach the kids songs, sing with them good Bible songs, and then have a Bible lesson. So I know that our friends, good friends, the Messlers, their church has done that for years, and we've done it at different times in a couple of different local schools in the Thika area. And so that's a neat opportunity that a lot of the schools have, just in your local community school, to go and teach. So another thing, Stephen and James there, who's in the video, they've, again, just done this VBS. They've also gone to, right up the street, a block away from our church, we have a large high school. And so they've been talking to the leadership there, and they've allowed them to go in and do some, like, chapel sessions at a second. Most of the schools there, the high schools, are boarding schools. Probably, like, 90% of the high schools are boarding schools. So the kids spend like 9 months of the year at boarding school, then they're back for 3 months of the year. So this large, one of the large boys high schools is a block away from our church called Chania High School. And so there's like over 1,000 boys high school students at that boarding school. And so they've been able to get in there and do some preaching and evangelism work. They've seen several get saved there. Now, obviously, those boys may not all live in Thika and come to church, but it's an outreach right there in our community a block away. So there's a lot of different opportunities that you could do, I'd say. But for the most part, I'd say just going out, trying to train people. Our co-worker, Brent Halstead, he's taught for years that he's been in Kenya. He's taught the Netcasters Evangelism course, and he's done it in numerous churches. He's been doing that at Lighthouse. Like it's like a 10 or 12 week program that he teaches coming each Sunday. So we've been trying to train a lot of the people in evangelism and just personal outreach. Yeah. Yes, ma'am? Not really. Kenya's been fairly peaceful. So we're thankful, especially where we live in Thika. Probably the closest... there is a lot of places in Africa, which is a large area, where there is a lot of turmoil and fighting. But thankfully, in our area, central Kenya has been fairly peaceful, I would say. So we don't really face too much. Now, if you go out into the eastern third of Kenya along the Somalia border, that's a little bit more dangerous, and a lot of banditry and fighting and stuff like that out there. And we have a good friend of ours who's on deputation to go to that region. So he just feels like he wants to reach out and target that area. He knows a lot of the danger that's involved there. So right now he's single, so he's on deputation to go back there. He's our co-worker's son. So that part of Kenya does face a lot more, it's a lot more dangerous because it has a long Somali border. So there's a lot of people that just come over the border, which is a story we always are hearing about in the States here too. And you know some of the dangers involved with that. So there it's similar. Yes. I would say so, especially if you I would say now that Kenya, because it's a lot more modernized, a lot more developed, you know, as it modernizes, people get more busy in their careers and materialism, and so they have less time to just talk. And you know how it's like that. If you go to a big city, they tend to be focused on. You go out into the rural areas, even here in the States, and people are just laid back and friendly and hospitable for the most part. And it's like that there in Kenya. As Thika has grown and become more connected to Nairobi, more developed, I feel like the people are, you know, they have less and less time for God and fellowshipping with people. But I do find that most times when we go out, we'll get easily into one or two good gospel conversations. I feel like the Lord always gives us good opportunities. You'll find some that are just, I don't have time for that, or they don't want the tract. But there's usually a pretty good receptivity. They may not, you know, convert right then and there, but they'll at least listen to the gospel and engage you and allow you to share the gospel with them. So I would say, compared to where in Mukwonago, Wisconsin, I would say they tend to be a little bit more open and engaging and friendly. No, I don't know what it's like out here, but they are overall fairly friendly, I'd say. Good. Any other questions? Just a couple minutes left. Yes. Yeah, every tribe like has their area in the country that generally has been their tribal area. So I think even like here when you think about the American Indians, they all had like their tribal areas. You know, this is where the Navajos lived, this is where the Sioux lived, or whatever, all these different tribes. So it would be like that in Kenya. Each tribe had their, especially as you go back in, back in the older days, that was a lot more pronounced. Today, as the country modernizes, some of those distinctions break down, but there's a lot of people that really hold on to their tribal traditions. And so I would say that people's first language is always their tribal language. Each tribe had their own language. So in many of the homes, especially when you're out in the rural areas, they'll grow up speaking their tribal language. And then as they go into school, they'll begin learning Swahili, and then further education, English. So I'd say a lot of people's third language is English, but it is widely used, like I said earlier. But Swahili and their tribal languages are still very, very popular as well. So yeah, I would say the languages and then their home areas are associated with different tribes. Good. Yes? I would say over the years, we've averaged probably around 25 to 30. So maybe somewhere between 20 to 30 students. Sometimes we've been up more like 30, other times maybe around 20. So it's not a big, you have to be a member of a good Bible-believing Baptist, usually a Baptist church. I don't know if we've had any other, but it has to be a church that we know is like-minded in faith. You have to have been a member there for a year. And you have to get your pastor's recommendation. So we don't just open it up to the general public. So it's a very specific sort of small group that can even send students to it. But I would say around 20 to 30 students have been coming. So a lot of times in classes that I've had, I'll have anywhere from like 2 to 6 people in it. Some of the other classes that are more like introductory or for a bigger group might have 10 students sometimes. But I would say generally, when I think about the ones that I've had the opportunity to do, it's maybe 2 to 6 students. Maybe every once in a while I might have one of the bigger classes. All right. Yes. What's that? I would say right now it's been around 40 to 50 people have been coming, including everybody. Sunday morning tends to be our largest group. Then we have a Sunday night service at 4 p.m. And then our midweek service is on Thursday night. So I would say in our 40 to 50, at times we've had been having up to 60, so it sort of has ups and downs. Good. I think that brings us pretty much to the end of our time, but I'm thankful for this opportunity to share a little bit of what God's doing there, and trust it gives you a little idea. Our prayer card there is in the back. You could always shoot us an email. We have some email updates that we send out. If you'd like to pray for us, we'd certainly appreciate that. And just trust the Lord will continue to use you folks right here in the Fort Scott area. Thank you, Pastor.
Appreciate your ministry, and I guess how long have you been there? 97, is that?
Yeah, that's when we first got into Kenyan missions. 97.
Okay. So 26 years. So appreciate your faithfulness there, and neat to see how the Lord's grown that work, and several. And you worked with several different churches, and so very neat. So good. We appreciate that encouragement. Neat to see what God is doing around the globe, and from every tongue, and every tribe, and every nation. And we praise the Lord that we're going to join that wonderful throng of believers and praise the name of our Lord Jesus. Let's close our time here with a word of prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you that you are empowering your church to fulfill your commission, that you're sending forth your laborers into the harvest field. And Father, we are so thankful for the Rains and for their ministry, their longevity and faithfulness, and Lord, their investment in the next generation of leaders and building really a stable a network for your church for years to come. And Father, we do pray that you would bless them, Lord, through this fall time and in the winter, and we pray that you would speed them on their way to a return. And Father, we pray for your blessing upon their children, and that you would use them in a mighty way, Lord, to strengthen and to expand your kingdom. And Father, we do pray for ourselves as we think about our Jerusalem here in Fort Scott. And Lord, we pray that there'll never be a time where there's a need to send missionaries here to this area, to this county, because we are being a faithful witness and a faithful lighthouse to spread your gospel, Lord, to those that you've placed in our lives. So, Father, would we fulfill our task and our mission right here. And Lord, I pray for your blessing upon this service as we go into our worship service. Lord, would you work in our hearts and draw all men to yourself, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. Same.